enable us to commence with hymn 622. Poor fearful saint, be not dismayed, nor dread the dangers of the night. Thy God will ever be thy aid, and put the hosts of hell to flight. 622.
Thank you. us read together from the book of Genesis, chapter 17, the 17th chapter in the book of Genesis. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I'll make thee exceeding fruitful, and I'll make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in the generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, or the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I'll be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the circumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. And my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were brought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. May God be pleased to bless his word, and help us now to pray. O great and almighty God, the mighty God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, we too desire to come before thee, and may we find access to the throne of grace. O Spirit of truth, come down, reveal the things of God, and make to us salvation known, and witness with thy blood. Lord, do take of our desires that are sincere and real. O come now, we pray, in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel, and favour us greatly in coming before thee. For Lord, thou knowest, we do not come, O such a one that may be perfect or entire. We do not come, Lord, in and of ourself, as one that is acceptable unto thee. But surely, Lord, we can only come and plead for acceptance and be acceptable in thy own dear Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, Lord, do undertake for us and have mercy upon us. We have to say, give me Christ, or else I die. Oh, there is a solemn truth, whether we believe it or no, but we pray that we might believe it as we hope we have believed it. And Lord, we pray we might ever believe it. That Lord, we might know by whom we trust, and Lord, who we are sheltering behind this night. None other than thy own dear Son, whom thou didst send into this world. Oh, that great rock of ages. Oh, we ask of thee that we might know that let the blessing of the rock that will stand and stand forever. Yes, oh, rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Surely, Lord, thou art coming. Thou art coming. Yea, to this world. Thou art coming to bring all things to an end sometime or another. And how will it be with us in that great and solemn day? O Lord, may we be found secure in Christ Jesus, thine own dear Son. May we be there embraced by thee, O one whom thou hast loved and favoured with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Leave us not, Lord, to be slack. Leave us not, Lord, to be indifferent. Leave us not, Lord, to sleep and slumber a time away. And Lord, forbid it that we should be found, oh, beating our maidservants, our men servants, dealing unjustly with our fellows, thinking in our heart, the God of all creation does not come yet. Lord, why should we be found left in a cruel, unreasonable state with our fellows? But Lord, ever make us right, and make us humble before thee, Lord. Oh, make us like unto Jesus Christ, thine own dear Son, who humbled himself even unto the death of the cross. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. Lord, when he was treated badly, oh Lord, did he not return love and kindness in its stead? Oh Lord, what a great work that is to be done within us, creating us, Lord, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within us. Save us, Lord, from that wrong spirit of pride, of conceit. Satan seems to turn everything into pride and conceit. Lord, even the things which thou hast done for us, where thou hast appeared for us, he likes to stoke us up with a false confidence. He likes to see, to pretend we are something which we are not. Lord, we pray thee, preserve and protect us. Save us, Lord, from casting our pearls before swine. Oh, ask thee, Lord, to preserve the riches of thy grace. May they be a true strength and encouragement to us as we look on to the future, which we do not know what it holds. But, oh, Lord, we ask of thee, that if it could please thee, thou wouldst spare our days yet. And Lord, that we might see the good of thy chosen. We might see the Lord appear in his glory again unto Zion. We ask thee, Lord, to send thy Holy Spirit down. For, Lord, how can we preach the gospel? And, Lord, how can we use the text laid upon our heart and mind unless, Lord, thou dost give us power from on high? For, Lord, how we need that power. O Lord, did thou not furnish the disciples of old, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles, and thou dost give them power, Lord? It causes us to fear and tremble because we're so weak and fearful of what the night might bring forth, when thou hast called us to walk through paths of darkness. O Lord, we pray that it might be otherwise, that we might know thee in the paths of darkness. As one has said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. O Lord, O please come and be with us. That's what we pray for, thee to be with us. That though we be nothing, oh, but Jesus may be all in all. We remember this, that Pharaoh of old, and Potiphar too, he left all in the hands of Joseph. And Lord, if such men as that should so honour a man like Joseph, help us, Lord, to honour thee. And Lord, that we might leave all our concerns in thy hand. Oh, that life's minutest circumstance be subject to thy eye. We know it is, but Lord, to see it and feel it. And therefore, we cry unto thee like Hezekiah. O Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. How true, we need an undertaker to do those things for us that we cannot do ourselves. We ask that thou would come and dwell amongst thy people here, and Lord, the dwelling of thee amongst them to this end, that they might multiply, their souls may be saved, they may be united together in the things that really matter. We pray, Lord, that thou would enlarge thy coast and lengthen thy cords. Oh, may it be seen in the sight of many, and to thy honour and to thy glory. We ask thee, Lord, that in thy presence oft the Lord Jesus himself might often come and reveal himself to them and to me also, that we might behold thy hands and thy feet and thy wounded side. Oh, that we too might be dear Thomas say, my Lord and my God. Oh, we do ask of thee. Oh, that we might be so favoured and so blessed. Lord, wash us from all our sins and cleanse us, Lord, from all evil. We ask thee, Lord, that we may walk humbly before thee, and that none daring lawfully to make us afraid. We plead with thee, Lord, that thou wilt come and raise up many in Zion that shall call thee blessed, whom thou shalt send forth to preach the precious gospel with authority and power from on high. Lord, thy ways are past finding out, and thou wilt send whom thou wilt send. Thou send none, O Lord, to preach the gospel in vain. Oh Lord, how that is often tried and we find it difficult to grasp. But Lord, oh may we rejoice in grasping it and singing thy worthy praises. Come Lord, we pray. Remember those who are dead in trespasses and sins, whose case may appear to be hopeless. Come Lord, and convert them. O Lord, only thou canst convert a creature, change his heart, renew his will. Only thou, O Lord, can cause a poor sinner to come unto thee and cast his burden upon thee. Lord, we would rejoice so to see it, and also to be humbled, Lord, under thy almighty hand. Lord, we feel it to be a great matter of importance that thou wilt humble us under thy almighty hand. O wretched pride that rises up and would even dare snatch the honour and glory from thee if it were possible. O pardon and forgive such presumption wherever it appears. Remember thy dear people here. Thou knowest their circumstances, every one of them. And thou knowest, Lord, those who have cried unto thee, even this day, that thou wilt appear for them, preserve them, and protect them. We ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt comfort their hearts, that, Lord, thou wilt guide and direct them in the way that they should go. We ask, Lord, thou wilt protect this place from any erroneous teaching, for Satan is ever seeking to find a foothold, an abiding place, wherever thy people meet. Lord, we have no care for him, and Lord, we wouldn't see any sparing mercy for him, because he is a wretched foe. But Lord, thou art stronger than he. We would be thankful for that. And Lord, while we are at the throne of grace and in thy house this night, chain him down, Lord. Chain him down. He's no match for us. But Lord, thou art able, yea, to control him and limit his power. Oh, that souls might know thou art their God and their refuge from such a foe as his. Now, Lord, lead us, oh, lead us unto Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend. Lead us, Lord, we pray, to that fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. O Lord, only thou canst do that. Lord, we cannot plunge ourselves in that crimson ocean, but Lord, we ask of thee that, oh, thou plunge us in that crimson ocean thyself, and Lord, that we might know and see that, oh, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Do hear us now, Lord, from heaven, thy dwelling place. Give one light and liberty this night. Give us, Lord, that freedom of speech and help in thought, Lord, to concentrate upon the preached word. Lord, all the honour and all the glory must be thine, for we can do nothing of ourselves. So hear us now. Blot out all our sins and transgressions as we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 915. Why, O my soul, art thou dismayed? Why in these tents of sorrow groan? On what have thy fond hopes been stayed? Still seeking rest, but finding none. 915.
Thank you.
as depending upon the Lord, I would direct your attention to the book of Genesis, chapter 17, and reading verse 9. I'm sorry, verse 1. Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. How this is another reminder to us that none are too old for God to communicate with. And again, we have to say this, and neither are there any too young for the Lord to approach unto. For I'm sure of this, that a newborn babe that is taken away in the beginning of life has a need to be born again. And there's nothing too hard for the Lord. He speaks by his almighty word, and the work of grace begins, it is finished and complete, instantaneously. Oh, I say, what a mighty God we have. Oh, may we feel it. May we know the power of it. May we be brought to realize it. Oh, what a solemn thing it is for you and I to assemble even in this house tonight and profess to worship God, our Creator. Oh, it is not a matter, it is a matter of a most seriousness. And we believe this. I say, it is a solemn thing to bring anything into God's house that is not of his approval. I say God's house, as he has said, shall be a house of prayer for all people. But let us come to this subject tonight, though I feel indeed to be so out of my depth in bringing it before you. But the Lord only knows. And when Abraham was 99 years, the Lord had been good to Abraham for many years. He guided him, directed him in the way that he should go. He preserved and protected him from many an evil. We see how he brought him out from amongst the heathen and cause him to walk alone. Do not be surprised if the Lord has blessed you, if you be found walking alone. How often that is the way of the Lord's people. Many might think if they are found amongst a large congregation, there must be a blessing there for them. What a sad mistake that is. But truly, this is the truth. We may be found amongst a large congregation and feel the loneliest person on earth. The Lord may bless you, yes, abundantly, and others know nothing of the blessing. And vice versa. Have we not known it? Have we not felt it sometimes that the Lord is blessing everybody else but passing me by? But I say, the Lord does not forget his people. He'll come in his own way and appointed time. And it might even be like Abraham at the age of 99 years old. But nevertheless, the Lord came. And he had a work for Abraham, and something he must do. He gave to him the ordinance of circumcision. It may seem foolishness to the eyes of many, but it was to this end that he would show that his people should be a separate people. They shall be cleansed from all sin and iniquity. They shall be brought up separate from all others. And the Lord was determined to make that mark in them to remember this. And so he gave to them his covenant that he would bless them. I say, where do we want to be found? Do we believe his ways are foolish and senseless and doing us no good at all? Oh, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, or scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. He will, friend. He'll make it plain. Not in your time, but in his own way and time. He'll show to thee that he has his hand in the whirlwind and in the storm. And when he says, not a single shaft can hit, unless the Lord God himself permit, why, he will not leave you, friend. He'll uphold you, yea, and stand by you at all times. But coming to the word here, he says to him, he appeared unto Abraham and said, I am the Almighty God. I am the Almighty God. I say, did not Abraham know that before? He may have known it before, but like you and I, we are apt to forget. We're apt to assess God according to our own balances and judgment, and prove entirely wrong. As it says by the prophet Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, or your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Therefore, again he says to us, I am the Almighty Lord. There's none indeed, I say, around us or before us that can overpower the Almighty God. I say, he speaks, and they are consumed and blown away like dust. I am the Almighty God. What are you looking at this time? What are you assessing? He helps us with it and says, I am the Almighty God. How we need to remember it, that we might make our assessments and judgments right. And we might well be saying now, how can I? How can I? Because he is the Almighty God. He'll have us take it on its face value. He'll take it on its true occupation, or place, rather, in the value of the things of this world. I am the Almighty God. I have created all these things. And when my set time comes, all those things will turn to dust. But I am the Almighty God, and who has always been and will ever be. Oh, what a mighty God. Hast thou any connection with him? Hast thou been aware of his presence, as he made you aware that his eye is forever upon you, as he make us aware of our past life, and oh, the volume of mistakes that we have made. I am the Almighty God, but I have not consumed you for these things, but rather I have brought thee to pass through these things. What to know that this Almighty God is your God, and that you have nothing to be afraid of him. Why? Because he so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son into the world. I say, oh, that poor sinners, oh, like you and I, may be brought to know his Almighty God, and that he would save us from ruin by his own dear Son, Jesus Christ. Well, he said unto him, I am Almighty God. There he has a particular word for him. Not just for him. If Abraham needed it, so do you and I. And so he says to Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk thou before me. Hadn't Abraham walked before him? He had a knowledge that God was with him, but he made, you know, many mistakes. He did things that were not good. The poor man, indeed, he was a sinner by nature. And there's the grace of God was there. He did go astray on more than one occasion. Surely some would say, does that matter? Does that matter? Just a few times. I am the Almighty God. If thou hast broke my law with one sin, thou art worthy of eternal ruin. And do not forget that. I am Almighty God. And therefore in mercy and love he says to Abraham, walk before me. I say, what a difference that makes in our walk and conduct in life. Whatever your situation might be, walk before me. He does not say, seeing the situation for you is hard and difficult, I'll allow you at this time to walk with liberty away from the things of God. Not so, my friend. He said, walk thou before me, as knowing that the eye of Almighty God is ever before you. How we find this in the day in which we live, I'm afraid, generally speaking, we walk with a general looseness to the things of God, walking not before the Lord as being perfect. Indeed not. But walking before the Lord in a casual manner, not giving full and complete heed to what he requires. I can't say I've noticed it here at Swaversey, but you know, in some places where we may least expect it, people do not walk before God. In fact, in the house of God, they talk, they speak, they pass notes to one another, and so on. But little thinking and realizing that God's eye is upon them in the house of God, doing all manner of things, such as impersonating even the minister, Do you think God is pleased with these things? Walk thou before me. My eye is ever upon you. I say how the Lord is very merciful, and oh, how he, for a season at least, he doesn't chasten you, perhaps, or us as we ought. Walk thou before me. Oh, we need indeed to walk before the Lord as being conscious of the Lord looking down upon us. Walk thou before me. I've said it several times recently. Yes, that we need the Lord to regulate and to control us. For so much seems to be so uncontrollable and appallingly disrespectful to the Almighty God, and abusing the holiness of God. For if this is the house of God, it will be the place of holiness, or should be. What we are looking for, walk thou before me. Oh, is it not a point that should bring us to prayer and give to us a contrite heart and spirit in these things? Save us, Lord, from abusing the mercies of the house of God. Save us from abusing the mercies of the house of God, whereby thou should withdraw thy love and favour toward us. I say, walk thou before me, as if he is, and we expect his presence in the house of God. Oh, as the smilings of his face, and not the frowns of disappointment and anger with us. Walk thou before me. I say, blessed is the man, woman or child that walks before God and can humbly say, Lord, oh, thou art there, thou who judgest and assessest all things. Do come, Lord, and do keep me from my own rebellious spirit. Do keep me from violating that holy place, the place where we would have the name of Jesus honoured and revered. Walk thou before me. Walk thou before me, not questioning the word of God, not questioning his precepts, his love and mercy. So much is brought down to questioning this day with regard to the word of God. Friend, I'm sure of this. God does not approve of this questioning that goes on and on with regard to worshipping God. I am the Almighty God. Let that be final, and let that be true. Yes, see those who have walked before God, and knowing that he is with them. A good David, in some of the Psalms, he makes it verily known that he walked before Almighty God with a great strength and comfort to him. I say, surely it was also to Abraham. And what about poor sinners such as we? He doesn't teach us to walk any otherwise for what we are, does he? But he would have us walk before him. That will be in all humility, as humbled under the almighty hand of God. I say that we come before him and fall before him. Lord, I come. I say, not in the beauty of holiness in me, but I come with my filthy rags. I come full of sin and shame. I come, O Lord, thou knowest sin within and sin without, fearing that thou might deal with me as I deserve. Is it walk thou before me? He causes, I say, to walk before him, to worship him, and to bring us to repentance. I say, what a blessing it is that he should say to us, walk thou before me. How often we come to problems and difficulties within the Church of God and out of the Church of God, in our homes and out of our homes, and we have to say, I don't know what to do or what to say. His word is this, walk thou before me. Abraham, there's something going to happen in your house which you will have a hard job to believe. Sarah shall bear a son by you. She is 90 years old, and you being 99 years old. But this is his promise to him of long ago, and he has been kept waiting that length of time. Walk thou before me, though thou hast been tried as by fire. With regard to his promise, it must come true, but be sure of this. Walk thou before me, concerning this blessing, the performance of this promise, yea, that thou would honour him in every aspect of it. Walk thou before me. Oh, how oft times I fear, if I might speak for myself, we come far short in giving him of all the honour and of all the glory. Walk thou before me. Walking before the Lord, will it not necessitate often conversing with him, asking him, pleading him, gracious inquiry of him? Oh, walk thou before me. Oh, may then those questions be not of a controversial kind, but a holy inquiry into his goodness and mercy. Oh, that I might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, to walk before him, what a mercy surely that is. Walk thou before me to own me and to confess me. How is that with you? Is this something you have laid aside? Has the Lord not seen you doing this? Has he not heard your reasons for such things? Or why you have done it? Is it walk before me? In other words, to do as I have told you to do. The Lord never tells us to do something that is not necessary. That may be a query with some. Be as it may, walk thou before you. It showed you I am Almighty God, and I never require anything unreasonable. And I'll never require anything that I will not help you with. Oh, I say, how blessed is that 23rd Psalm. When he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Oh, what a difference that makes. The Almighty God with me. We may have many loving hand with us and caring for us. But I say, who can complement the hand of Almighty God? I will give you that son. I will give you that blessing, that I spoke to you of. I have not forgotten. Therefore I say, it will not be passed by. And he goes on to say, and be thou perfect. And be thou perfect. We're told in scripture that there's none perfect, no, not one. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, he was perfect. Why was he perfect? Because he was sinless. And being sinless, he was holy. We are not sinless. Then we cannot say that our substance is holy. But here the Lord says, be thou perfect. Seek indeed to do and be found amongst those things that are holy and sinless. Be thou perfect. You will not mock the Almighty God for asking and seeking such a request. For the Lord desires to see his people, his churches walk in a holy, obedient state. And choosing rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And be ye perfect. How often those decisions come in our life. And we are brought to choose one thing or the other. And we are heard to say within ourselves, I'll think I'll do that. I'll take a rest. I'll take my ease. I'll go and enjoy myself in some of the pleasures of the world. They're not sinful. They're harmless. And be ye perfect. To be perfect, surely, is to be ever be aware of the power of Satan and to be on our guard, to be watchful. Oh, how one feels so ashamed to say these things, but being so guilty herself. Watchfulness. Oh, we ask the Lord, do we not to be thou our watchman, to watch over us and to keep us from harm and danger. So often something happens and we can say, well, I didn't know. It's not my fault, it just happened. But it's not right, is it? Are we watchful? Yes, for those unforeseen events in our life that come upon us. And we turn to Almighty God for guidance and advice, lest we go astray, lest we take the wrong step, or lest we stumble and fall into some hidden pit. Oh, be thou perfect. Oh, how a poor sinner comes out of these trials, filthy and ashamed, brought to flee unto the Saviour and to say, wash me, else I die. Wash me in the fountain opened for sin and uncleanness, to purge all this folly away. Oh, and be ye perfect. Be ye perfect in your desires for things to come. My friends, God was talking to Abraham with regard to the family that he would have, his progeny right down throughout the ages. He said, be thou perfect. Yes, sometimes we meet people and they tell us of all the goings on within their family. And I felt myself guilty, even at tea time today, in speaking of events and future events in my family. I really didn't have to say it. There wasn't perfection in it. I say it may be so, the case with you and within the church. Oh, be ye perfect. Oft times do we not hear, people say, but we've had so many additions to the church, so many additions to the congregation, and so on. I say, is there perfection in it? Is all the honour and glory going to our Lord and Saviour, to his goodness and mercy? Yea, that he had been a God that heard and answered prayer. Or have all these things amounted to nothing at all concerned with him, but because we have prayed for it? Oh, friends, oh, may we be perfect in our prayers. We really need to be perfect here, lest we offend the Almighty. Friends, because our prayers are by far not perfect. We must ever remember this. Two things. If our prayers are of any value, and if they are perfect, the Lord will make your heart perfect before him to pray in this matter. To cast your burden upon the Lord. Yes. And secondly, when he hears and answers prayer, not to forget that we could not pray in and of ourselves. But bless his dear name, he remembered us in our lowest state and implanted prayer in our heart. Prayer that was perfect, acceptable before God the Father. Therefore, the outcome, I say, is to give all the praise and all the honour and glory unto his great and holy name. And be ye perfect. I say, have there not been times when we've been in conflict with others over certain matters, and we may be completely outnumbered, and therefore we've had to submit. But still the situation is not perfect. What are we to do in such matters as this? Friend, our only hope is that the Lord will appear and overthrow the decisions made by others, the claims are made by others, that he might have all the honour and all the glory. Let me just say something about myself. I don't want to speak with a proud pride of heart, but a certain matter arose in the church where I was a member years ago. And I was dreadfully troubled by this. I raised the matter that a certain man should not be asked with us anymore. And I met with fierce opposition, and it was fierce. I had to leave the matter. I was troubled now on two hands. Should I ever have lifted my hand against one of the Lord's servants, or one who professed to be the Lord's servant? And I say, should I not indeed be humbled and repent and apologize to others? Friends, no, I could not do that. The only recourse I found was prayer, even still. And you know, unknown to me or anybody else, this particular man fell out with our correspondent. Nothing to what indeed I'd brought up at all. And said he was not coming again. Friends, how I rejoiced that he did hear my prayer in that matter. I say, be ye perfect. If we put our own hand to the matter and force things through, what shall we cause? Contention and trouble. But my friend, the Lord, he is able to bring forth perfect conclusions. He has all nature at his command and all power in his hand, and he can bring you relief and security. Oh, I say, and be ye perfect. Walk before me. It speaks here, does it not, of a continuation in these things. And he says, and be not weary in well doing. I've often thought of that word. Oh, how we need the Lord walking before him to save us from being weary in well-doing. We do get weary, don't we, in well-doing. But does God bring judgment upon us for it? No, because he says, I am Almighty God. I work all these things by my own strength and control. It is I that come to a satisfactory conclusion, that good may reign, that sin might be overthrown, and be ye perfect. Now I must quickly come to a word which I meant to speak of, really. Perfection. Where do we find perfection? Where do we need perfection most? Why, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There it is glorified, and there it shines. And I say, oh, to be united to Jesus Christ, to be found in reference to him at all times. I say, and be ye perfect. He takes the matter in hand. He understands our condition. He sees the poor sinner contrite before his feet. Oh, that the Lord have mercy upon him. I say, can he have a perfect mercy upon us without judging us according to all our sins? And be thou perfect must be found in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came from heaven for this very purpose, to save his people from their sins and the effects of our sins. Oh yes, oh to be perfect. Oh, our Jesus is able to save us from all things. Why does this come into your prayer? Oh Lord, undertake for me. Cause me to walk before thee and be perfect. How can I walk perfectly before the Lord, seeing I have this affliction, this trial hanging round my neck, having this responsibility laid upon me? I couldn't avoid any of these things. Oh, I say, and be thou perfect. The Lord is able to regulate and control the management of all those things concerning us. Oh, that Jesus Christ may be all in all, when we thus lay our load at his dear feet. Lord, help me. Oh, what a wonderful petition that was of that dear woman who came with her daughter. Lord, help me. Oh, send her away. Send her away, says the disciples. They say so. It's not meat indeed, says Jesus, to take the bread, the children's bread, and cast it to dogs. Why should we have mercy upon such a sinner as me? Ah, being perfect is confessing our sin before him. Yea, Lord, I agree what you said in every part, how true it is. What little hope is there left for such a sinner as me? But the dogs do eat at the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Lord, I cannot rise to anything greater or higher than this. I see no reason why that a dog like me should be favoured. But I say he sees different. And no, if the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table, is there yet not a hope and a blessing for me in this trial, in this concern? Yes, there is. And be thou perfect. What a wondrous thing that we can only be made perfect through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is clear that the Lord's people shall appear in heaven. Perfect. Perfect. Some might say, what hope is there for me? I'm such a naked and exposed creature. My sin has brought me here. But my friend, the righteousness that is perfect is imputed to us by Jesus Christ. And him alone. I say, what a perfect righteousness that is. He gives it thus to his people. He gives to those who come into that marriage feast, yes, a robe of righteousness. They're all dressed alike. Their perfection is equal one to the other. Why? Because Jesus has imparted it to us. There's not one bigger or greater than the other. Though we may feel to be the biggest sinner that has escaped from hell, I say, oh, be ye perfect. Oh, in the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. How unperfect the man was in the parable that Jesus speaks of that marriage feast. He came in without a wedding garment on. And when the Lord came into the feast, he said, how camest thou in without a wedding garment? My friend, he got his own wedding garment. He said, I don't want any of yours. I'm satisfied with my own. But sinner, your wedding garment's not perfect. It's stained with sin. It's marked all over with the trademark of sin. I say, therefore, there's no place for that or for the wearer thereof in heaven. A solemn thought that is. But I say, the robe of righteousness that he gives, he'll never take it away. It will cleanse you. It will hide you. It will be sufficient for you in heaven above. Oh, making thee to know thou art in thy right place, because it is a place that was bought by Jesus Christ and him alone. Amen.
collections last Lord's Day amounted to £675, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Javies Rutt is expected to preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Charles Warboys next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 377. My soul, take courage from the Lord, believe and plead his holy word. To him alone do thou complain, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. 377.
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the teaching of thy Holy Spirit, abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.